Good morning.
Good morning.
As Kit mentioned, I'm a little under the weather today, so I apologize if I pass out or hit the podium in any way. But we are starting a new series today, as you can tell, and I wanted to start off this morning and ask you if you're here this morning and you are a Christian. Do you remember the day that you became a Christian? Were you full of excitement that day? Do you remember the excitement? Does the thought of that day fill you with excitement again? Have you ever wondered why? Now, it's always exciting to see someone become a Christian. Even though maybe the person who's seeing the baptism happen, they don't really understand all that's involved. But they often sense that there's something meaningful going on, right? The thing that typically will make that impact is that as the life of that Christian continues, hopefully there are changes that will happen, positive changes in that person's life that will make what happened that day, what they witnessed, even more meaningful. But often the significance of becoming a Christian appears to become lost. Sometimes even Christians fail to appreciate the significance of being a Christian. And when this happens, Christians often fail to grow as they should. Now, it never hurts for Christians to ask themselves, to reflect, and think about questions like, what did I do? What did I do that day on July 5th, 1999? What was it that I did? I'm talking about the day that I was baptized. You don't need to think about what you did on July 5th, 1999. Just myself reflecting on that day. What did I receive? What have I received? What are the implications and the consequences of what I have done? What has happened to me? What have I become? What is different about me? Now, all of those questions or similar questions can really be summarized into what is the meaning, the importance, and the value of becoming a Christian? And what am I supposed to do now? What am I supposed to do? And these are the questions I hope to answer in this series entitled The Good Life. Now, if you were here for our previous series, the last two sermons that we talked on in terms of becoming unbridled, and walking away from the idols that we have in our life, idols like materialism, we talked about the good life. We talked about how people often refer to, that something good happens, or maybe they're sitting on a beach somewhere and they think, this is the life, right? They get a promotion, they're sitting in their new corner office overlooking the city, this is the life. But what is the good life? And we talked about the good life that we have is not a life based anything material that we have in this world, but it's based in heavenly things. It's based on a life that we've been granted in Christ. So in our first lesson this morning, entitled A Life Reborn, we look at the beginning of the journey of a Christian and how in Christ one has become a new creation. Paul in Romans chapter 6, verses 4 through 5, details this new creation, this newness of life. Oops. We were buried therefore with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. Now, what is this newness of life? Well, if you look, as we just heard from Jeff in our scripture reading in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, where we become a new creation, Paul says, and he says that the old things have passed away, that the new things have come. That is the newness of life. The life of sin that we once lived is now gone, and now the new life that we have, this new creation that we have been made into, has been made possible by virtue of a new birth. A new birth that was produced by responding to the Word of God. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 22 through 23. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. This new birth is not just produced by responding to the word of God, but it's also produced by the working of the Spirit of God. John chapter 3, verses 3 through 5, when Jesus is sitting down with Nicodemus and telling him about a new birth, Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven." So this new birth, Jesus says, is one of water and of Spirit, and is caused by responding to the Word of God. This new creation then embarks on a life of renewal. It's a change. Changes need to be made. The inner man is to be renewed daily. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. Paul says, "So we do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day." And this renewal that's happening is a renewal that is ongoing, right? Romans chapter 12, verse 2. The renewal of one's mind. Something that is happening. Now, because of this new creation which has occurred, and the renewing which continues to take place. The renewing doesn't happen before the new creation, but it happens after the creation has been made. And as this renewing continues to take place, the Christian can be said to have a new life, right? That's the newness of life, but this is a new life. So when we think about the newness of life, we think of a young child, a child just being born, experiencing breath for the first time, experiencing food for the first time, warmth, love, care. That is the newness of life that a newborn represents. But a new life is one that has replaced the old. Okay? So we have passed from death to life. That's what Jesus promised to those who hear his words in John chapter 5, verse 24. "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death unto life." The promise that we have in the prospect of life eternal that is given through God's Son is part of this new life. It's not just a new life on earth. It's a new life that continues on into eternity. Now, if you look at Ephesians chapter 2, Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 5, Paul writes, "And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved." See, Paul is saying that you were dead. You had nothing. You were dead without Christ. And now because of Christ, you are alive together with Christ. Because Christ is not dead. That's why we don't talk about Jesus in the past tense. We talk about Jesus in the present tense because he is still alive. He is still reigning at the right hand of God. Paul echoes this in Colossians chapter 2, verse 13. "And you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses." Right, it's the ministry of reconciliation that we heard in our scripture reading in 2 Corinthians. And so, having passed from death to life, a new life has also passed from darkness to light. And we've talked about being the light in our morning Bible class over the past couple of weeks. But passing from darkness to light and being in the light is the objective of gospel preaching. To turn people from darkness to light. That's what Jesus told Paul, Acts chapter 26, verse 18. And Peter wrote this to the Christians as well. We look in 1 Peter 2, verses 9 through 10. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you have not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. So though we once walked in darkness, we can now walk in the light as children of the light. Right? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. The metaphor of light represents goodness, righteousness, and truth. As we've talked about in our class, and Jesus is teaching in the Sermon on the Mount to be the light of the world, that was both a compliment and a challenge. Because light is good. We need light. Life needs light, and the world needs light. And so our challenge is to be that light. And we can't be that light if we are not seeking goodness, righteousness, and truth. So what makes us a new creation and a new what makes this new creation and a new life a reality? It's more than just obedience to a new doctrine. It's possible only when such obedience is the result of a new loyalty. Have you ever heard of the term convert? He's been converted. A Christian is a converted person. Right? The Thessalonians exemplified this, but conversion involves change, particularly a change of loyalties. Romans chapter 6, 16 through 18, do you not know that if you present yourself to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves to the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed. And having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. Now, when we think about the term slavery or slaves, it's often negative in nature. But being a slave to righteousness is not a negative thing. We have gone from serving sin to serving God. And as we talked about in our last sermon series, we need to be renewing our minds, we need to be changing our focus, and we need to be moving away from serving idols to serving God. A Christian is converted to Jesus Christ. He or she acknowledges the lordship of Jesus. 1 Peter 3:15, in your hearts, honor Christ as Lord, as holy. Right? We honor that. We acknowledge that. Most of the time, when you're baptized, you're asked the question, do you believe that Jesus Christ is Lord? That He died on the cross to take away your sins? And if the person can't say yes to that, then you don't proceed to the water. Right? Because that belief, that conversion of loyalties has to happen. And this loyalty to Jesus, that comes before family, it comes before yourself, most definitely, and in some cases it comes even before life itself, because the Christian must choose to follow Jesus and follow Him alone. When one makes that choice, Christ becomes the focus of that person's life. That's what we talked about in our last sermon series. About having Jesus, about having God in the proper position in your heart, in that ultimate place, nothing else. Because if you have God in that special place, in that important and ultimate place in your heart, everything else falls in line. And we talked about this morning in our Bible class about anger, about how we are to react to others if we are angry at them and reconcile ourselves to them. And we talked about this idea of being right with God, the relationship that we have with God, with Christ, if we have that at the center of our life, then overcoming anger, overcoming hatred towards somebody else that we're angry with, that we have differences with, becomes much easier. Your perspective on life changes when your perspective on your relationship with God changes. And that's the whole purpose and the focus of this sermon series, is to change the way we think about our role as Christians. Do we understand the gravity of the position that we are in? Do we understand the significance of being a Christian in this world? We need to wrap our minds around that. And this loyalty to Christ, it results in a new life in which God blesses that individual through Jesus. Now, some people preach that the blessings that we get when we give our life to Christ are in this world, that we're going to be magic, everything that's bad in our life will magically go away, that, you know, if we're poor, we're magically going to become rich again. That's not how the blessings work. The blessings that we get in Jesus Christ for the good life is a life eternal. It is blessings and greatness after this world. But the things of this world, our life in this world can become much better when we align ourselves and we change our loyalty to Christ. And that's how we find strength to live the new life. Because the life as a Christian is not an easy one. Jesus said, Paul said, persecutions would come. Difficult times would happen because you follow Christ. But we find strength in Christ. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me, right? So a significant thing about a Christian then is that he or she experiences a new creation, that they enjoy a new life, that they entertain a new loyalty. And such an individual then truly has a life reborn. That's where it all starts. But not all professing Christians show evidence of this rebirth. Why? They may have not yet truly experienced the new creation. For God's power to be at work, one must submit in faith. Right? It starts with belief. And though they may have been reborn and entered this new life, they may have gone back into sin, hardened by sin's deceitfulness, they've departed God. They've left Him behind in place of idols, something else that they've put in that ultimate place in their heart. The world has overtaken them, and they've lost sight of Romans 12 when it says, "Do not be conformed to the world, but daily renew your mind." In either case, their loyalty is certainly not where it ought to be. So this morning I want to challenge you all as we go about our week, as we leave this place and re-enter the world, where is your loyalty? Does your loyalty lie with Christ, or does it lie with other things that are going on in your life? Maybe there are things that we deemed as idols. Maybe they're just different things that you have a higher priority in your life. But may the promise of the new creation and a new life in Christ remind us that we have a good life. As Christians, we have the good life. And may it challenge us to examine ourselves, examine our loyalties, if we don't see in our lives the evidence of a life reborn. And if you're here this morning and you want the good life, maybe you haven't been baptized. Maybe you haven't experienced any of those things that we just talked about. A new creation, a new life, and a new loyalty. If you're here this morning and you haven't been baptized, if you haven't responded to the gospel truth, if you haven't responded to God's word and been born again of water and of spirit, then join the good life. The water is ready. And we are ready to baptize you today in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit for the forgiveness of your sins. If we can assist you with that or any other need that you have this morning, won't you come while we stand and sing?